much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
This program examines podiatric medical conditions and the procedures involved with treating them. Due to their graphic nature, viewer discretion is advised.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Graffiti is probably the most physically demanding sport.
How so?
It's Los Angeles' tough sport. It's its toughest sport. You know, you got to climb up billboards, run from cops, cholos, and other than that, probably rugby.
You gave it your best. Now it's time to say goodnight.
Let him go, Nancy.
Gail, you came back.
Oh, look, it's the arts and crafts counselor. Still looking for a husband?
Right now, I'm only looking for two things. A class on how to make your own papier-mâché pencil holder and an ass to kick. And it looks like I missed the class on how to make your own papier-mâché pencil holder.
And now, warning. Do not confuse any lightheartedness in the following video with a glib attitude toward the problem at hand.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin in the Morning with Ali and Jensen show. It's Wednesday. It's 15th January.
I feel like it wasn't as smooth, but you got through
it. You climbed out of it.
Incredibly shaky.
Yeah.
Agreed.
You did it.
I didn't even have confidence in myself at that moment. Oh, but
we all do.
Pulled it out. Mm-hmm. So,
you did.
You know what I mean.
I know.
Shot clock. Still at 8.
Sorry to disappoint.
No, we're doing good. I'm very happy.
Mm-hmm.
But are you very happy?
Okay.
Oh no.
Are you? Do you feel happiness?
I know what you're getting at.
Yes.
And I know you want tears, but I'm not gonna cry. Guys.
Do you have anything to live for?
No.
Oh.
I said that in
that
a text to Kevin last night. I'm like, what is life?
Mm.
It's over. Everything is over. Yes. Jeopardy's greatest of all time tournament ended last night. It was the first to three, and the third game was claimed. Actually, it's a match. It's two games a night, which equals a match, but that's neither here nor there.
It's over is the point.
It's right. Over. Am I upset Ken Jennings won? No, and I'll tell you why. Because he wanted it.
He wanted it more than his competitors?
More than anyone. Like, he was living for it, and I think, oh, sad, Ken. But he also dominated. The dude was so good. Did I want it to be James? Yeah. But if anything, this contest let people know how
that,
funny
that
James
Brian
Holzhauer
is. A horrible, horrible contestant.
His name
buddy.
Is Brad.
Brad.
Brian or Buddy. His name is Brad. Wasn't the sharpest, wasn't quite the best. Sometimes didn't even show up in Final Jeopardy because he didn't have the points. But, hey, neither here nor there. I'd still let him hit it. What? Just saying.
First of all, no, you wouldn't.
No, I would. Brad's kind
what?
Of oh, no. Brad, I even tweeted that last night.
Mm.
Yeah.
Brad's the best looking of the three.
Well, see, James, there's something really special about that robot to me. I'm telling you. And he's so funny. Granted, he's so uncomfortable in his own skin that when he's funny, you're still cringing.
He's oddly close to Rain Man.
I love that.
Very much
him.
So, yeah.
Love that about him.
What everyone figured that James had this because he had revolutionized the game.
Because of the way he plays,
But clearly, it's about trivia knowledge in the end.
It's about trivia knowledge, but it's also about getting the daily doubles, being the first on the clicker.
Just lucky.
And that was Brad. Brad got almost all the not almost all, but the majority of the daily doubles, and then couldn't
nail it.
Couldn't nail it. But again, I know something he can nail.
Wow.
Loves Jeopardy, this one.
Right? I really do.
Someone say too much.
I'd take one for the team, and it wouldn't be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be open to it.
Weird team you're on.
Wow.
Weird team you're on.
Weird phrasing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start. No one's listening.
That's true. Not until 6, so
and
we're working this out.
They tuned out. I will be curious to see the ratings of last night because it was up against the Democratic debate, which when I looked at Twitter, I'm like, ew, look at all you nerds tweeting about that. Who cares about the country? This is the deciding night, possibly.
Right?
Yeah. But it was great. I'm very happy for Ken Jennings. And there's a rumor, and I don't know if it's true.
What world do you live? What circles are you right? in?
There's a rumor that whoever won, they were going to donate the weddings to a charity. Oh. So we will see if that happens. And I will be, I'll be really bummed if it doesn't happen because somebody put that rumor out there and is a dick.
Right? I mean, that wouldn't be a nice thing to do,
no.
considering these people do pretty much live off of game show earnings.
Yeah.
Brad, who put that out there?
I don't know. Oh. I saw the rumor yesterday.
Probably Brad.
On JeopardyHeads.com.
Oh, my God.
If you need my username and password.
Are you on a Facebook group for this?
I am not on Facebook.
Reddit?
But if I was.
You would be in it.
I would be on it.
Mm. Yeah. Some kind of forum?
No. Okay. I mean, I just have friends that are into Jeopardy like me.
Right.
Yeah. I know a couple people that work over at Jeopardy. Mm-hmm. One of which... I mean, I need to talk to him about one specific question. Not question, but a whole round of questions that had to do with Roman numerals. And
what a life, man. What a life she's living.
Just and people insane. Say she doesn't know how to party.
Thank you.
There's actual, like, smoke coming out of her ears.
Just saying. Listen, it's over. I'm very sad, but I still have Jeopardy every night at 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be fine. Plus, I feel smart now when I watch the regular Jeopardy because I'll get, like, 8 questions.
Instead of,
you know, any.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a rough go of things, but congratulations, Ken Jennings. You deserve it.
Who was it that made the funniest joke I've ever seen on Jeopardy?
That would be Jeopardy James. James Holzhauer killed the joke.
Would you mind explaining it? Or?
So after the first game, they get rid of those numbers, and they will add those totals to the second game. That total determines the winner of the match.
It's a reset.
So they just zero out everyone.
They zero them out.
Start again.
So James had like 30,000, whatever. Ken had like 60,000. Brad had zero. lovely Alex Trebek explains it. We're going to reset. These numbers don't matter because it's the next round that matters. Then we add them, blah, blah, blah. James interrupts him and says, wait, Brad's still at zero.
Like you forgot.
You forgot. You left your score up.
Unbelievable.
And Ken just like his head goes down. He's like, oh. And Brad is just looking at the camera like, why would that happen? It was hysterical.
And also Alex Trebek's response was sort of like this kind of slow clap of I like chaos.
Yeah.
Like
he dug it.
Yeah.
All I know is I felt
all right.
In my I'm pregnant. I'm pregnant now.
From watching Jeopardy?
From watching James just with the sick burn.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how it happens.
I didn't
know
that's how it worked.
Yeah.
People don't know that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can't get pregnant in a jacuzzi, but you can just by watching Jeopardy.
Got it.
Yeah.
All right.
Let that be a lesson,
kids. As long as it's clear. Let's talk about today's show, shall we?
I have a good one for you.
Mm-hmm.
I have to get
Let's talk about today's show.
Okay, I've been really excited about this one. Do it again, but like with a very excited talk.
Let's talk about this show, shall we?
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Thank you.
I am so excited.
Right. Am I sensing some sarcasm?
Yes.
Worth it.
Worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Critics, movie critics. Mm-hmm. Unless you pay attention to them.
I do more than you guys. Mm-hmm. I think so.
I don't think I do at all.
Yeah,
like, not even a little bit.
Kevin almost goes against it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, not really. It's just I don't... Unless they have my taste in movies, I don't know how that relates to me.
Yeah.
They didn't like it, but they may like all of their favorite movies may not be mine. So how does it relate to me?
Well, I did realize while doing a little bit of research about this, because we're going to be talking about movies that we enjoy, the critics don't. There are some great movies that they've pooped on.
It's a matter of taste. You have your opinion. I have my opinion. Like what you like.
Right.
We're all going to be fine.
Maybe.
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 I mean, it's a big statement is all I'm saying.
To like what you like?
No, we're all going to be fine.
Oh,
okay. We're all going to be fine.
Yeah.
I was like, really?
No, we're all going to be fine.
Oh, no, we are going to go down in a blaze of glory, and I hope a meteor hits us.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. 7 o'clock on Wednesdays, we have Get Up On This with Jensen. You named your kid after a celebrity. We're going to take your calls. This can be, or your parents named you after a celebrity. Mm-hmm. This can be a nightmare depending on who the celebrity is. And let's say maybe they do things that are horrible in the later in their life after you're already, you know, you've had that name for 15 years or 30 years or whatever it happens to be. Doesn't seem like a great plan.
My son Kylo is sitting pretty.
I mean, our other choice outside of Adler was Harvey Weinstein, so we're lucky.
The whole name.
Harvey Weinstein Carp, yeah.
Yeah.
You made the right call.
Thank you.
Things you lie about just so you don't have to have a conversation, for the most part, we're going to talk about today.
Okay.
Just, you know what? I don't even want to have that conversation, so you know what? Yeah, I watch whatever.
Right.
And then, because if you don't, then people go, oh what? Oh, how dare you?
Right.
Right. And you just don't need that.
Peaky Blinders. I get it.
We've got your tickets to Coldplay at the HD Radio Sound Space. It's on.
And where are we on this? I guess we'll go over it later.
Listen, I drove by it today.
Uh-huh.
It's looking great.
Really?
Absolutely. Where it used to be covered up, it's wide open. I saw no ladders anywhere.
Hmm.
Where there used to be furniture all piled up because they needed a place before they set the stage and staged all the furniture.
Mm-hmm.
That's gone, which means the furniture's in there. You guys, I feel really good about it.
All right.
Way to go, Intercom.
I came in about 5:25 and looked down from the bridge, and there were like 8 or 9 people.
Yeah, I'm sure they worked through the night.
Already working like crazy, probably through the night. Yeah.
Hopefully Stryker and Klein down there, too.
So I don't think they're allowed.
They had a slumber party.
So that's coming up this morning as well. Your chance to win those tickets. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin in the Morning with Allie and Jensen. It is 5:53. Time for our first look at what's happening, Allie.
Guys. This year's inductees to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame have been revealed.
So these aren't the nominations. These are the
Are who's getting in.
All right.
Should we go through the nominations again?
Sure.
Oh, you want to tell everyone?
And we'll say who.
Right. Yeah. Well, that doesn't deserve a drum roll.
Yeah, no. We have got the Doobie Brothers.
Okay.
Pat Benatar.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Matthews. Depeche Mode. Kraftwerk. Todd Rundgren. Whitney Houston. Nine Inch Nails. Motorhead. The Notorious B.I.G., T-Rex, Rufus featuring Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan? Chaka Khan. Soundgarden, MC5, Judas Priest, and Thin Lizzy. Those are the nominations.
Christopher Cross.
Not in there.
I don't remember Dave Matthews being in there. That feels kind of early.
Well, to be eligible for the Hall of Fame, you have to have released your first commercial recording at least 25 years prior to the nomination. It may seem early. It just means you're old.
Yeah,
is
true.
What that means.
It does.
Yesterday, Foo Fighters did an Instagram post about it being their 25th year, which is impossible to think about that way. There's no way.
It feels nuts.
So I feel like maybe next year they'll be nominated, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to know who made it in?
Yes, please.
We all would.
Depeche motherfreaking Mode.
Yeah, they should have made it for sure.
We all had them, I think.
Yep.
Nine Inch mother effing Nails.
Absolutely should have made it as well.
I'm going to stop doing that part now.
Okay,
the Doobie Brothers, which, I mean, rest in peace, Rerun, right? He's in heaven.
That's
so stoked. Mm. Remember when he recorded their show and he was like dancing? Then
no one remembers that show as much as
everybody remembers what's happening.
No one does.
And then when Raj called the hotel and he's like, which Doobie do you be?
No one remembers that.
Good times.
Wow.
Not good times. What's happening? Whitney Houston.
I had her.
Absolutely. Listed.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely. He's the illest, you guys. Biggie Smalls.
Makes sense.
The Notorious B.I.G.
Makes sense.
And T-Rex.
Now, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Sorry, what?
None of us had T-Rex.
No.
But his production and the stuff that he's done over the years is undeniably Rock and Roll Hall of Fame ready.
Did he, just for himself or for other artists? Or what?
For other artists.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Mm. I don't get
it. What's also undeniable to me?
Mm-hmm.
A band that just paved the way and laid the groundwork for music, for EDM, for everything. Kraftwerk. I cannot.
Wait, hold on.
I
is T-Rex
believe.
This is how much I'm surprised.
You're thinking it's Kraftwerk.
It's the band T-Rex, not the dude.
It's the guy that it's Bangigong.
Then I do not.
I don't understand
I don't have it. Yep.
I don't understand.
I thought we were talking about. Anyway, go on.
I don't know who you were talking about. That's why I'm like, I don't even know
crazy.
What that band
That makes
produced.
No sense.
Huh. I don't get that one.
Maybe
T-Rex.
I got the wrong press release. Listen, I didn't double check. But I believe T-Rex
right
made it in. Yeah, Depeche Mode, Doobie Brothers, Whitney Houston, Nine Inch Nails, and Notorious B.I.G., and T-Rex.
All but one are great. That's fantastic.
Is it T-Rex the band?
I'm trying to look it up.
Because
now.
Honestly, I didn't even, when we did the nominations, I don't even think I said, oh yeah, the band T-Rex. I just said T-Rex. You know, tiny arms. I don't.
So Tiny Arms got in or not?
With the getting it.
I don't know. That's a bit of a shocker.
It's all not. Right. Here's even more of a shocker. Four of the inductees this year were on the ballot for the first time. The Doobie Brothers, Whitney Houston, Biggie, and T-Rex. T-Rex.
Okay, so it's a band produced by Mark Bolan. I mean, it's just a very influential band. That's what they're saying.
But T-Rex.
And Bolan, who passed away in a 77 car crash. I mean, it seems they were very influential and that we don't know enough about them.
Hmm. I'm sure, yeah. I'm sure people that
love them are freaking out. Yeah,
yeah, psychedelic rock, glam
that's what
rock
it is,
type
yeah.
thing. They're into it. I remember the song Bang It Gong because they say, get it on. Right. Bang It Gong.
Right.
Something. I mean, that's...
Do you remember those two lyrics?
That's it.
Okay.
That's it. But I'm sure that their fans are very happy. I mean, let's be honest. We're just stoked that Dave Matthews didn't make it, right?
There is.
I was just going to say I wanted Dave Matthews to make it, though.
No!
Yeah, I'm just totally going to say that.
No!
Yes, 100%.
Come on.
I'm a big fan of when he whispers.
I love him.
Crash. T-Rex, there's a website just called notinhalloffame.com, which is just things that are like omissions for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And they're the number 14.
Really?
Yeah.
Listen, I will... absolutely admit I know nothing about T-Rex.
Can I read you a little about them?
You know Bang It Gong. You know that.
That's get it on. Something.
Bang It Gong.
Is it, and then it goes back to Get It On, I think. Okay.
Originally a folk group, Mark Bolan and T-Rex moved away from that and embraced rock and roll, but did so in a way a little different than their contemporaries. Others created the 10-minute rock epic that was popular for the time. T-Rex went back to the 3-minute pop songs that sounded dirtier, sexier, and trashier than everyone else. They were among the leaders of the glam rock movement in the early 70s, and imitators they spawned during that period are countless.
All right.
All right. Congratulations to you.
John Bon Jovi. Is he in it?
No.
Oh.
And he might have inspired him.
Maybe.
Because they were like a hair band, which was kind of a...
Well, anyway.
Interesting.
I don't know anything about them.
I don't either.
No. But congratulations. Guys. It's going to be a big night. By the way, it's going to take place, obviously, at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, Ohio, in May. But we're going to be able to watch it live on HBO, which, I mean, is it really live? On May 2nd at 8 p.m. I'm excited. I love to watch those because you never know who's going to introduce them. It's usually someone that really inspired them. So it's going to be very
exciting. We should do T-Rex. Three of us.
Let us go up on stage and
let
introduce
us know, guys.
We are available.
Yeah, that's going to be really fun. All right, I'll have more news coming up. I'm going to do a deep dive into T-Rex.
All right.
Don't you worry.
Can't wait.
Some birthdays for you. Skrillex. Pitbull. Ugh.
Mr. 305.
Kevin hates Pitbull with a passion.
Hates a party, then.
Bugs me.
I mean.
Hates happiness, this guy.
What if I said... Yeah, sure, you've got Pitbull, but you also have one of our all-time favorites that has come on the Kevin and Bean Show. She's one of the greatest actresses of our generation, and she's a lovely, lovely human being. And if you're not watching Watchmen, I mean, who watches Watchmen? See, that's the tagline.
Hmm?
It's Regina King.
She's
love
awesome.
Her.
She's the best.
Yeah.
So,
and before you tweet me, she referenced an old show that used to be on, and that person used to visit it. Because you said the old name.
Did I really?
You did, but it still won't count because you said she shows up on this show. You said on Kevin and Bean there, so I'm not going to count it.
I didn't hear it.
She said it.
Okay.
Wow, that was like math.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to count
I'm
it,
I'm not
though?
Counting it, no.
Okay.
Because that's when it happened.
Okay, that is when it happened. She did come in.
Yeah, look for loopholes.
Oh, she did?
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, count this, it. Go ahead. Nothing is not fair.
Yeah.
She did come in to talk about... Wait, but was Bean still here for Watchmen?
You know, let's figure this out off the air.
No, let's do it now.
Okay.
Let's do it now. We will. No, don't add it yet. Right, don't add it. We're going to check. Honestly.
Okay.
Who's T-Rex? Right? And that's what's happening.
I love movies.
We all love movies.
Yeah.
And some of us pay very close attention to critics.
Uh-huh.
And by us, I mean like people in general.
I think I do.
You do?
Yeah, I do. I admit it. I look at the Rotten Tomatoes scores. I do those type of thing. And I feel like it's mostly correct. I don't want to pretend that it's always correct, but I do follow critics probably more than you two.
On the flip side of that, I had to ask you how to find a Rotten Tomatoes score.
Yeah,
I was
true.
Like, wait, is it the green splat or the red?
Yeah.
So I... do not follow critics, and I don't care.
And for those of you that don't know, the Rotten Tomatoes thing, it's like an average of all of the critics. So it does take everyone into account and come up with a score.
Yeah.
But I've said many times on this show, my sweet spot is like 18% to like 35%.
Yeah.
I have been surprised by the louds that you appreciate as a film watcher.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But not all of them are, you know, awful. I'll give you a perfect example. Mm-hmm. This is a little higher than my normal average, but Step Brothers.
Yeah. How is that?
I couldn't. I saw that one, too. Yeah.
Step Brothers.
What's the Rotten Tomatoes
Will Ferrell, John C. Reilly, they're two man children. They have to move back in together. The Rotten Tomatoes score is 55%.
Okay, that's insane.
Right?
Because that movie is a 99.
That's what I'm saying. It's one of my favorites.
It truly is a classic. I pulled some, too. We wanted to pick one each that really stood out to us that we want to stand up for.
Yes.
But one that I noticed online as well, Three Amigos. A truly classic comedy, in my opinion.
Look a beer.
Exactly. Chevy Chase, Steve Martin, Martin Short.
Have you seen Kevin's one-man Three Amigos show?
I mean, I'm seeing it right now.
Nails it.
Killing it. Well, I hope you score higher than a 46%. Three Amigos got a 46.
Well. I mean, I'll say again, it really does represent what that critic thinks, but if that critic's not me and doesn't have my taste, how does that affect me?
Well, here's what Gene Siskel said at the time. You know it's a boring comedy when you find yourself laughing only at the lead character's costumes.
Okay, well, he is not a great critic, and I'm not going to listen to him anymore.
But let me ask you another question, because I think a lot of times critics fall into the whole, hey, if I sort of like everything, no one cares what I say. So they either score really high or really low.
Mm-hmm.
Just to kind of stand out?
Listen, I picked a movie that I watch every time it comes on.
Mm-hmm.
I own the movie. I quote the movie with my girlfriends.
Is it a Christmas movie?
It is not a Christmas movie.
I would have bet money on this.
Thank you so much. Uh-huh. But listen, you're with the love of your life. He passes away. Your life is, it's devastation. But that man, Jerry, knows how hard it's going to be for you because he was sick.
Mm-hmm.
So he writes you these little love letters that will help in your healing. Mm-hmm. Those letters always end with the same thing. P.S. I love you. That man, Jerry, is Gerard Butler. It stars Hilary Swank, Harry Connick Jr., Jeffrey Dean Morgan. The movie is a gem, guys.
And the score?
25%.
Wow. 25.
Terrible.
You went lower than I went.
I had no idea. Then when Christine looked up the score yesterday, she's like, oh my God, Allie. That's a
25.
Really low score.
That's very bad.
Just saying.
Even Rotten Tomatoes, that's bad.
That is bad.
It's a beautiful movie, and you will get to know Ireland in the movie because that's where she goes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it is a dream.
Can I give you another one?
Yeah.
Wet Hot American Summer. In my opinion, a classic comedy.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it 100% changed the way, like, some comedies get made.
Right.
The names in it alone, Michael Ian Black, Ken Marino, David Hyde Pierce, young Paul Rudd, Amy Sedaris, Christopher Maloney, Molly Shannon, a young Bradley Cooper, a young Elizabeth Banks. It ended up being a Netflix series.
Oh, yeah. And it became a cult hit, too.
36%. That's terrible.
I mean.
36%.
Yeah.
That's why you don't pay attention. Can I give you another one?
Please.
Yeah.
Armageddon.
It's aged well.
It has.
People seem to like it. Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's a ridiculous story.
Yes.
And I'll admit that right up front. There's an asteroid coming. It's going to destroy Earth. We need to fly some oil drillers up there
We've played Ben Affleck's commentary before.
Yes.
Even he thinks it doesn't make sense.
And land on the asteroid and then drill into the asteroid and put a nuclear weapon in there.
All plausible to me.
It's absurd. But I find it so funny, and I will watch that movie every time. It has Bruce Willis. It has a cast that's unbelievable. Michael Clark Duncan. It's got Owen Wilson. Like,
amazing.
All these people.
Mm-hmm.
It's super cheesy. The music's super cheesy.
Made a ton of money.
Yeah, made a ton of money. The Rotten Tomatoes score is 38%.
Whoa.
Very low.
How is my Rotten Tomatoes score the worst?
I'm still, like, shocked that you would like a 26, but sure.
No, it's 25.
25,
yeah.
Right.
So, yeah. Don't give it an extra point.
Thank you for reminding me. My one that I really wanted to pick out, though, the critics hated, that is a better movie than anyone allows it to be.
Okay.
Speed Racer. This is a movie that was destroyed by critics. It has a 40%. On Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
Came out in 2008. The Wachowski sisters had made it, and Emile Hirsch is the star, Matthew Fox, Christina Ricci. It's one of those movies that just got a bad rap, and then it became funny to make fun of it. Like, it just was like,
it's one of those things everybody just joins in.
Because it came after Matrix for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, like, people were expecting this. And instead, they go in and see this, like, anime lollipop of a movie. But it's super fun. And I think that that got affected by just critics not liking it.
Can I just say, my movie, $30 million budget.
Right.
Made $156 million. That's a hit, bitches.
That's a huge hit.
That's true of almost all of our picks.
Yeah.
The ones that are rated super low make a ton of money.
Bottom line, suck it, critics.
Yeah.
Right?
Go home.
Suck it, critics.
This is Kevin in the Morning with Ali and Jensen. LA and OC's alternative rock.
People always point out how horrific plane accidents are, and I agree, of course.
Clearly. Mm-hmm.
Having said that, when you look at the millions of flights each day, I think it's an amazingly low number.
Yeah, we are sitting in space, and we're flying across it, and there's a rare amount of crashes.
Yeah.
It seems
sort of shocking.
Seems like a real, true God's work.
Yesterday didn't quite happen that way, and the flight didn't crash, thank God. But Delta Flight 89, which was going from LAX to China, had to turn around because something went wrong with one of the engines, and the pilot had to turn off the engine. So it took off from LAX, was heading out over the Pacific Ocean, and then made a turn and came all the way back and had to dump a bunch of fuel before it landed, so it wasn't too heavy. Here's the report.
As Delta Airlines Flight 89 returned to Los Angeles, jet fuel rained down on communities outside LAX. Captured from multiple angles, the streams of fuel poured over four local schools, where 44 children and adults complained of skin irritation.
Did he aim for the schools? There's four in a row?
Four schools.
Did he pick schools? Or are they all next to each other?
I don't think he was aiming for them.
I don't know. This guy sounds like a dick.
I mean, he's got good aim, if so.
Look, here's the thing. They say that if they have to dump fuel, that the planes usually go to a very high elevation, and it just sort of dissipates on the way down.
Yeah.
This flight never got above 8,000 feet, so it just turned around, came back.
I'm looking for a school. Gotta drop this fuel. Gotta drop it. Where's the closest school?
It sort of is a little weird that all of the angles that I've seen in the news are about the schools and the skin irritation and the eye burning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but
you're
what
outside.
About the 150, 180 people whose lives were saved by this? You know what I mean? Like, both are bad. But
so Kevin's saying, like, whatever, kids.
No. I'm saying both are bad.
No, what he's saying is we had to get rid of the fuel, so you're scarred for life.
Mm-hmm.
But we
That's not
crash.
What I'm saying either.
But whatever, 180.
I don't think it was ever in danger of crashing. He or she, I don't know who the pilot is, had to get rid of the fuel. You just have to. That's protocol.
Right. I agree. So I don't think they tried to do it over schools or anything.
No, what we're hearing is they tried to do it over four specific ones.
No, I don't think that happened.
They were looking for a kindergarten, and then they ended up at these elementary schools.
Wow. And they couldn't. I'm sure they got a ton of fuel out over the water.
Yeah, they started dumping kind of as soon as they could. And you can see when you see the video, you can see it coming just pouring out of the plane.
Wow.
And then, you know, I always wondered, why do they have to dump fuel? I mean, it's just a weight issue. When you land, you have to be a lighter plane than when you take off. So literally, it was like they didn't have a choice.
Oh, yeah.
People on the ground suffered because they were getting literal jet fuel on them.
I'm willing to ask this question to look stupid.
Okay.
Let's say they dump it over an office building and there were a bunch of people having a smoke break outside.
Right.
Would they blow up?
Yes.
I don't
know. The answer is yes, right?
I don't think so.
Listen, I don't know how any of this works.
I don't think so.
You guys ever heard of the band T-Rex?
Let's be honest, that is the best reason not to smoke.
Yeah,
right?
That is a pretty good
reason.
Just in case you can get nailed with jet fuel and blow up. I mean, put it on the pack.
Here's the rest of the report.
Suffering from minor injuries.
We do have the smell of fuel in the area right now.
My head started hurting first, but then my eye itched.
The frightening moments unfolded this afternoon. A pilot radioing the tower.
Okay, I'm sorry to say this and have to point it out, but this reporter does sound like a character from South Park. Am I right?
Okay.
Listen.
The frightening moments unfolded this afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sort of frightening moments.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Sounds like a South Park guy.
Pilot radioing the tower, forced to shut down an engine, taking off from LAX at 11:19 a.m.
So I don't know if they would have made it with one engine. I mean, no. It was 25 minutes.
China? No.
Right. So it very possibly could have turned into an accident.
We all say, like, we
right.
know.
We
well,
know.
There's no way. I mean, he wouldn't have turned around, clearly.
I don't think there's only two engines, though. Right?
Oh, my God. We're killing it. We're like aviation
there's
experts.
Gotta be a bunch
we need
of
to dumb
engines.
It down for people that don't understand
yeah,
aviation
know.
As
it's
well
only,
as us.
Only if Chuck Yeager is listening will he understand the things we're saying.
Back to South Park.
The Boeing 777, with 164 people aboard, headed to Shanghai, China, was airborne only minutes when it was forced to circle back.
Have all units responded to the auditorium.
Declaring an emergency, the jumbo jet had to dump fuel before it could safely touch down. Delta saying the aircraft landed safely after an emergency fuel release to reduce landing weight.
The Office of Environmental Health and Safety will be surveying the scene and making sure that it's completely safe for our kids to come back to school when it's needed.
Tonight, a scare in the air and on the ground.
By the way, Chuck Yeager is Steve Yeager's cousin. I
yeah,
didn't know that.
Related. I knew that. Yeah, I thought that's why you were kidding. Yeah,
that? I wasn't even listening to the report. What did they say?
What a Googler over here. Do you think, okay, it's your kid.
Yeah.
How, like, and they're freaking out. How do you explain to them that it's not going to happen again?
Oh, my God, terrifying.
Because the odds of it
imagine.
Are, I mean, minimal, minuscule.
Yeah, the odds of it happening could, even yeah. once is
But,
ridiculous.
Like, a kid who's, like, seven or whatever is like, does this happen all the time?
Like, the kid comes home, and they're sitting at dinner. How was your day? And the kid's like, really, Mom?
Also,
they really? Jet fuel.
But also, they should probably, like, shower him or whatever. He shouldn't be at the table
yeah,
with still
rinse the kid.
Oil on him and yeah. stuff.
You think he's sitting there just all still doused?
Mom, are you going to wash me?
Okay, we're going
no,
to
No, we're going to go smoke.
We're going to hell.
Kevin in the Morning with Ali and Jensen. KROQ.
K-Rock. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin in the Morning with Ali and Jensen. Coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, you named your kid after a celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a wise move on your part? Get up on this as well.
I'm ready.
It's changed from Thursdays to Wednesdays, so that's coming up just after 7. First, Ali McKay is here. What's happening?
Remember the good Kings times? That song would play and you'd yeah. be like, oh, Stanley Cup.
2011, 2012?
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Those were great times.
Yes, they were.
They've changed a
I
little
mean,
bit.
Sure.
I mean, they had a great year after that, right? A couple years after that. Great. A
couple years, yeah. They won it.
Yeah.
And then Chicago won
Chicago,
it.
Chicago, then we won it.
Yeah.
Then Chicago
yeah.
won it. We thought, this is cool to keep going back and
we'll
forth.
We'll go every other year.
Nope.
Do you think anyone videoed like signs or something so we could maybe like call them cheaters or whatever? Is that possible?
Signs in hockey.
In hockey, are there signs?
I know who's going to put in on this line. No, really.
Right, I'm trying to help.
No.
I'm trying to help.
No.
Not the same thing.
Trying
no.
to help you guys out.
Very different.
No, they just...
It was funny, though, when we were playing the Devils, and they showed the guys, Gerard and the guys from My Chemical Romance, and everybody just started cheering because they used that song all season, and everybody... That song meant Kings hockey.
Yeah.
And then they noticed they were wearing Devils jerseys.
Right.
Yeah.
And so everybody
yeah.
went, yeah!
they carried on, though. So.
Oh, boy.
Oh, file.
I'm not proud of it.
Shouldn't be.
Okay. So we need to bring up something that is not easy because it's a friend of the show. But a friend of the show messed up. And if anyone else did this... I'd do it in what's happening. So because it's a friend, we're not going to skip over it. So Brad Williams, recently a podcast that he did, I believe in 2014, has been resurfacing over and over, even though it was deleted. It was him on Getting High with Doug, Getting Doug with High,
Getting
whatever.
Doug with
Getting
High.
Doug with High.
Mm-hmm. And in it, he was asked to explain like a really crazy, funny thing that happened on the road. Brad chose to tell a story that wound up seeming a lot like rape. And it had to do with a woman that wanted to be with Carlos Mencia, who he was touring with at the time, who apparently serviced a bus driver to get on the tour bus.
Carlos Mencia did?
No.
That's crazy.
The woman that wanted to be with Carlos and then got on the bus. And then in the story... Brad says that Carlos, because he's married, was like, I'm not doing anything, but, you know, turn off the lights, then head on in there, Brad. So Brad says in the story that it was 15 minutes before she realized that it was him.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that's rape.
Yes.
Is what it is. So people found out about it, started going online, social media, demanding that he be arrested, everything. So Brad commented on it last night. And he posted an apology to his Instagram and his Twitter. And he says, basically, I lied. I tried a story because I didn't have a fun, cool story.
Because it was Carlos Mencia.
Because I was on tour with Carlos Mencia. And I chose to make one up that was so dark and so inappropriate and so hurtful. And he admits in this apology that, yeah, I played a part in rape culture, and I will never, ever allow that to happen again. He took full responsibility for it. He said he told a story that was not funny at all, made light of an incredibly serious topic. He understands that people are offended, and rightfully so, by me joking about such material, and I want to take this opportunity to let you know that I regret what I said and apologize for the content of the story. He made it up. He did what so many people do when they're trying to be funny with friends, with the worst possible story that he could. But the
he also
shame
added it as part of his act too. Yeah. When he was on, yeah.
And I think too, like it's a hot button issue because it's a bunch of dudes sitting around talking about it, and here he is saying that he made up this story. So like she said it, and like he said in his apology, it just feeds this culture of sort of like it's not worth it to make that stuff up, and I think Brad's learning that.
Yeah, he says he needs to do better, and I will. I want to live in a world where true victims can come forward without fear of retaliation or retribution. He gets that he made a huge, you can't even call it a mistake, he effed up huge. He's meeting it head on, which I will say not a lot of comics will do. They will double down, sometimes triple down.
Sorry, I offended
oh,
you.
Oh, sorry
kind of
if
thing,
you're offended.
If it was offended. Yeah.
Type of thing.
Yeah.
So,
but also, I feel like it's difficult for comedians because I assume they get, somebody comes after them for every joke. So how do you tell if it's
well,
just somebody trolling?
This
I understand that.
This isn't that.
But it makes them less willing to come out and say, I was wrong, I think.
No, Brad, I think, gets that. Yeah. Oh, God, this is criminal, what I joked about.
And Jezelneck, you know, is a great example of someone who makes jokes all the time about committing crimes. It's just that they're in context of joke.
Right.
Like, this didn't seem like in context. And so I think that was why people reacted the way they did.
Yeah. But if you look at his apology on Twitter and on Instagram, it's a long apology, but he covers everything, and I will hand it to Brad for that, because again, he could have avoided it, he could have hoped it went away, or he could have doubled down and said, I'm a comedian, I make jokes, that's what I do.
Yeah.
But he realizes that it wasn't a joke, and it was bad, and it was wrong, and he will be better, and I don't doubt that he will.
Good for you, Brad.
I tweeted to Brad as well. Mm-hmm. As somebody, I've sort of dealt with abusive relationships with our charity for a long time.
Sure.
And jokes like that, to me, are almost stand up and walk out bad.
Yeah,
I just,
off limits.
I can't, there's nothing funny about that.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter who you are, how great you are at, a lot of comedians do this. They step over the line, and then they sort of bring you with you and say, it's okay because I'm making a joke, blah, blah, blah. But that line, to me, is in stone.
You don't cross it.
And it's also more blurred now than it ever has been.
Yes, but also I know Brad.
Right.
Yes.
And I know that he's not the kind of person who would actually do that, and he is the kind of person who learned from that and will do better. I believe that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I was happy to see that.
So there you have it. You F up, you make amends, you apologize, and how people choose to view you from that point out is how they're going to view you.
Correct.
So, I mean, suck it, pilots, right? That are dropping gas on kids.
Also,
is that
you
what
guys,
we're saying?
Have you
they're
guys
not dropping gas on kids, by
no,
the way.
No, like four different schools.
Serious
I mean
question. Serious question.
Yeah.
Have you guys heard of the band T-Rex?
Honestly. Honestly, I've looked them up. I've done a deep dive. I'm very confused by it.
Me too.
Very confused by it. All right, some birthdays for you. Skrillex, Pitbull, Regina King.
This
and that's
time,
what's happening.
On Wednesdays,
yes,
we do a feature called Get Up On This.
Get up, get on up on this.
Get up.
People who are just tuning in for the first time to hear this feature on a Wednesday, I guess it's important to explain to you that I get you up on things that you might not know about. These are things that have not yet hit mainstream, things that I think may have been passed on in our culture. There's so much going on.
Yeah.
There's so much media. How could you keep track of all of
it? I know I don't have time to find that kind of stuff, so I do appreciate that you bring in something that maybe I'm not aware of.
That's
most of the time, that's true.
I curate a list that has...
Most of the time, thank you.
Knock me down.
Occasionally, you hit it out of the park.
I get negged once per episode. I'm happy that Kevin was able to do it this time. But what I do is I get you up on movies, television shows, podcasts, apps. I mean, it's pretty all-inclusive. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this week I'm really excited because there's been a lot of focus on a recent Netflix true crime docuseries called Don't F With Cats. It's a lot of people talking about it. It follows a group of cyber sleuths who track down a murderer after he posted videos in 2010 of himself killing cats and kittens. I mean, I know I can't even fathom the idea that it happened, but the doc really shows what the internet can do for you. It's good. It's definitely interesting. I think it starts hot and then kind of fades away.
It peters quick.
It's three episodes. So my goal today is to get you up on two new true crime investigative docs on Netflix that are better than Don't F With Cats.
Okay.
Okay. One was just released today, so I'm on top of things. All right. First, let's start with a movie that was released in November called Bikram, Yogi Guru Predator.
None of those words mean anything to me.
All right, good.
I would not watch that.
Listen, I think Predator means something to you, Kevin Ryder. Okay. It focuses on the life and alleged crimes of the creator of the yoga phenomenon Bikram Yoga. Now, you know about Bikram Yoga a little bit, right? Because you know that it's very hot. That seems to be the thing everyone knows.
It's the hot yoga.
The hot yoga. Mm-hmm. Well, the guy's real name is Bikram Choudhury, right? Yes, Bikram Choudhury, and he founded an empire focusing on this new set of yoga poses. It's not just that it's the temperature's hot, which is true.
It's also true, yeah.
He also has like these 26 poses, and he does them with different breathing, and he brought it over here from his home country in India. And so like it's about his life. Mm-hmm. The first, it's a 90-minute doc, as you know, obviously.
Of course, that's important.
Clearly to me. It starts off as a love letter to the man. He's obviously, in any, you could explain in every way, he has affected some people's lives positively, okay? He basically started a cult for white people to proclaim that it changed their perspective. Like, that's kind of what the whole thing is. Like,
he
changed my life, but it's just like Beverly Hills white person over and over again. But it slowly becomes a profile of a man that has a God complex and a handful of sexual assault and rape lawsuits against him. It is a very weird late 90s, early 2000s time of like Eastern medicine taking over. You remember sort of that craze.
It was all the thing everybody was talking about. Eastern medicine, of course.
Exactly. And this man really took advantage of it by sort of teaching and just a Rolex and a Speedo. That is true. Even being somewhat degrading to his students, cursing at them while the yoga classes were going on, making fun of them for being fat. But some reason, America loved it. It was featured on like 60 Minutes and all sorts of different programs. And then he built this trust with so many young women in the program and then had a cycle of this abuse and fear within the community that he really allowed. And this documentary shows all of every moment from that kind of strange time within yoga. I don't want to spoil it for you. I wish I could because to find out where he goes and what happens is so interesting. There was recently a 30 for 30 podcast on it just dedicated to that. So if you've listened to that, obviously there's a lot of media out there. But to be honest, I didn't know much about these details at all.
I didn't know any of that.
Yeah, and so learning it, because especially there's still Bikram yoga shops.
Right.
Like there's still Bikram yoga places around and it hasn't fully tainted his name, unfortunately. And I hope this Netflix doc does.
I mean, if you're a true crime head like me,
you know all about it. Right. Well, listen, some of us have to learn the hard way through Netflix. Here's a clip of the doc.
You've never really done yoga until you've done a Bikram class.
With millions in the bank and millions of followers, Bikram is doing something right.
People would say, what's he like? And I would say, he sees himself as a cross between Mother Teresa and Howard Stern.
He was a teacher who was going to make me perfect.
He saw potential in you that you might not see. But he has a really ugly side.
It's directed by the Oscar winner behind the 2008 documentary Taxi to the Dark Side, which is a very good doc. And it's really just entertaining and interesting. And neither of this week's picks are chill. These are all both very serious. But they're both highly recommended and entertaining and good to know. Mm-hmm. All right. Second, and it just came out today, and I know it was trending on Twitter a little bit earlier. If you're a true crime obsessed person, the streamer Netflix has something for you. Killer Inside, The Mind of Aaron Hernandez.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know. Again, I know sort of the headlines, but none of the real story.
You know the gist, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so it details the story of the now deceased former New England Patriots star, tight end and convicted murderer Aaron Hernandez. He was convicted of murdering the boyfriend of his fiance's sister. Follow me there, right?
Wow, okay,
that makes sense. In an execution style, right? And then he was accused of various other crimes while being held. And he became a bit of an American villain, sort of focusing on violence and crime. He became the face of it for like a few months, if you remember that. Although at one time he was an NFL all-star worth millions of dollars, right? It's a three-part docuseries produced by the same people who did Making a Murderer. So we know that's good.
Great.
Okay. Yeah. It's an expansion of the director's prior 2018 documentary about the football player. But now he goes deeper into his home life and also the toxic environment of the NFL, and something that only came up kind of a little later in the story. So the bigger part that he really focuses on now in this docuseries is that Aaron was living a closeted homosexual life, and that comes out much later regarding
didn't know any of that.
Exactly.
Yeah. A Boston reporter revealed that, and she got ruined. You know, first of all, the Boston sports fandom is out of control.
Yeah, they didn't want to hear that.
But nobody wanted to hear that about their beloved Aaron Hernandez. Just let the man murder in peace.
Yeah, please. When we list our things we don't want him to be, gay, then murder. With interviews now from his high school quarterback, who was his alleged boyfriend in high school, as well as commentary from a former Patriot player who hid his homosexuality while playing, they really delve into the culture of football and masculinity and what can happen because of it. And the effects that I wanted to go over as well in this doc that is intense is what CTE plays in this story.
Oh, interesting.
Right? There are pictures of Aaron Hernandez as a child in high school and whatever. He looks physically different. They have a lot of his phone calls from jail in it, and a lot of it is him saying, "I've become a monster. I've become a monster."
Wow. So he had the insight to know that?
He did.
Wow.
Post-mortem. The post-mortem analysis of his brain.
Unreal.
He was 27 years old. It showed the most severe case of CTE ever found in someone under 30 years old. His face was his brain was completely infected with CTE. That is in no way, shape, or form an excuse.
I was going to ask, is that?
Well, yes, it creates spurts of violence. Yeah, violent fantasies, murder fantasies, all those things happen based on CTE. And again, not a defense. It's just the full story is important to know here, especially so we don't repeat the past. Keep in mind, he was about to sign a $40 million contract extension the week he murdered someone.
And worth every penny on the field. That's how good
he was. I thought you were like, worth every penny for murder.
No. Not even a little bit.
I didn't want to have a what's happening with an apology from you.
No.
Okay. So he was able to obviously keep it contained for some amount of time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, a long time.
Yeah, he was a normal guy at some point.
He was also in gangs in Connecticut, of all places.
Yeah, hard to find gangs.
Well, actually, parts of Connecticut can be really rough, but his high school life was rough.
Yeah. Yeah, he has a very crazy childhood, and like I said, they show pictures of him as a kid smiling, and you just can't imagine it's the guy later in the movie.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's listen to a clip from the doc.
No one has allegedly murdered two people and then played an entire season as a professional athlete.
Aaron Hernandez was a different level of athlete.
He was kind.
He wasn't someone who picked on other kids.
He's one of the best players in America. Get him the ball.
The Patriots reward him with a $40 million contract.
Aaron Hernandez was a ticking time bomb.
So good.
Wow. I want to end the show right now and go watch that.
Two new documentaries on Netflix. Bikram Yogi Guru Predator came back out in November. And then Killer Inside the Mind of Aaron Hernandez came out today on Netflix. Get your true crime on. And that was my Get Up On This.
Get up, get on up on this.
Get up.
How long did it take you to figure out a name for your kid?
A while. We had started, I think, pretty soon after finding out that we were pregnant. We had started writing down names, and I would say we got to about 40 to 50 options pretty quickly.
Wow.
And then over the next maybe 6 months, we took them off one by one as they became stupid to us.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Plus, you don't want a name that you equate with someone else. Like if a girl named Jenny was awful to you in
high school,
you don't want to name your daughter Jenny.
Yeah, and that came up a couple times where you're just like, oh, I don't, you know what? I knew a Steve, and I think he's awful.
He was always hitting it.
He was awful. So I, you know, we wanted a last name.
Right.
That was kind of what we wanted. We wanted a name. Jensen is basically a last name. And we wanted to have a last name as a first name, just something we wanted. So mm-hmm. we started going through them. And when you get to like a few hundred options, you know, you start throwing out things, you get weird places.
Yeah, well.
You just get strange. And I started thinking of celebrity last names. Just, okay. you know, from Bradley Cooper. Oh, Cooper. You know, from that mm-hmm. kind of, just thinking free form, just what's going on in my head, thinking people in movies.
Right.
And one that came up and made us laugh was Nicholson. Mm-hmm. Right? It was just like, oh, you know.
Call him Nick.
That's about, yeah, which possible. Yeah. But that's
Sonny.
Yeah. Nicholson.
Old. Hmm? What?
What? Nicholson, bad name.
Okay.
Right? Not a good name.
I don't hate it.
Right, but it wasn't.
It wasn't great.
Didn't make our list.
Okay.
But then it made me think of Jack Nicholson at Laker games. Next to Laker games, he sits next to a dude named Lou Adler, who's this classic music producer, but he's yes. also known as the guy who kind of brought music to Sunset, to the Sunset Strip.
Yeah, the Roxy.
The
huge.
Roxy.
Yeah, huge mm-hmm. in the community.
Massive.
Music community.
Yeah, an yeah. L.A. kind of local guy.
Yes.
But
he's an icon.
He is a Grammy winner. Mm-hmm. Like, he, you know, and... like all of us, we've grown up around his family, yep. right? Like Nick had been around and Cisco was in bands and kind of a tabloid fodder for a while. Mm-hmm. And I've never had a problem with the Adlers. And I just thought to myself, that's a cool name. I didn't even say to Danielle, it's the guy who sat next to Jack Nicholson.
Oh, you didn't even say
no,
that.
I didn't give her sort of the reasoning we got there. I just okay. said, Adler. She goes, I like Adler. And I made the list. And then 6 months later, when it's the last one standing, I have to say, hold on. It's
here's
because,
why.
It's because.
Just so you know.
Yeah, just so you know, the guy who sits next, it's the reason is the guy who sits next to him at Laker games, and that guy was sort of just kind of going with it. And she goes, well, let's Google him. Let's make sure there's no terrible things
about
him. Well,
that's my next question is, do you have to then.
Oh, 100%.
Because that, if you're naming your kid after a celebrity and something yeah. goes south.
Yeah, we feel bad
yeah.
for anyone.
That sucks.
Like Cosby Karp would have been terrible
yeah.
if you'd picked it. And so I immediately start trying to figure out if anything had ever happened in his life, and he's squeaky clean and done great things. And I said, let's write it down. Let's do it. And that was his name.
There you go.
Based off Lou Adler.
I mean, it happens here at K-Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Beer Mug and Nicole's daughter, named after Eddie Vedder. Little Evie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, this is how we do it here at K-Rock.
And I have a friend outside of K-Rock. I have a friend who recently had a daughter who they named Joni after Joni Mitchell. And it has a lot to do with his relationship with his mother and how much they listen to it and, you know, what sort of her music represents and what he wants his
That's
daughter
sweet.
To be like. Yeah, it's super sweet. And I think, you know, I could probably think of 100 bad cases of where this doesn't
well,
work
that's
out.
The thing. We're also going to take calls from you at 1-800-520-1067. Either you were named after a celebrity, mm-hmm. you named your kid after a celebrity, and...
Or you have a stupid friend who named it after a bad celebrity.
Correct, yes.
Yeah, because I like to think there's
the
someone out there.
The
yeah.
bad celebrity is the funniest to yeah, me, like, because now it's their name.
Yeah, like Sugar Ray or something. Like,
I have a name, guys.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I named my dog after Ronda Rousey.
No, it's not. Okay. Dog
no,
is,
no, no, no.
Yeah.
We don't want dogs.
We're talking about
dweeb.
Humans.
No.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
We don't need dogs.
We've got to
yeah.
somehow disengage
yeah,
how we can talk on
yeah.
I can cut the wires.
Okay.
So 1-800-520-1067.
Not
you,
pets.
Not No pets.
No.
Has to be a human being.
Yes.
Get my fur baby.
I'm a real dad.
And we'll take your calls next. All right, just ahead of Nirvana, let's take one phone call. Let's make it Sarah from North Hollywood. We're talking about your kids or you named your kids after a celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarah, what do you have?
Good morning.
Morning.
I named my son Beck, B-E-C-K.
Beck.
And purely after the musician.
It is, and it's a cool name.
It is a very cool name
it's
and a cool dude.
Super cool. Let's just hope he's not a loser.
Oh,
see, those are both no.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Sarah.
No, he's the opposite of a loser.
I
he's
agree.
Awesome.
He's super cool.
He's super cool. Very good.
And,
yes, so, yes, yes.
Our last name, it's great together. People, the teacher sees his name on a roster, they're like, who's this boy?
What's the last name?
Saunders.
Beck Saunders?
Beck Saunders.
I like
yeah.
it.
Yeah, that's like a baseball
right.
player.
Yeah, I like
it.
Right.
Nice.
1-800-520-1067 is the number. You named your kid or your parents named you after a celebrity. We'll take more calls then. Talking about kids named after celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sometimes they go great. That person remains on the up and up for the rest of their life. Other times, sometimes they exhibit some qualities of a Nazi. That brings me to Dez, who tweeted in, my poor little guy is named after Moz. Yep. Named him Morrissey. I mean, Dez is all in. Her @ is MozGirl13.
Yeah.
She loves Morrissey, you know, you don't know what people are going to do.
No
later
one
in
saw,
life.
You know, no one saw this come. I mean, this is way too far for Morrissey.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing, though, is you don't ever know what's going to happen. I would always pick someone older.
Well, yeah.
Just to be a little safer.
In the 714, we got a text. May 3rd, Alec Martinez scores the first playoff goal for the LA Kings against the Ducks.
Right.
May 5th, Alexandra Grace was born. We named our kid after the first Kings player to score a playoff goal against the Ducks.
I just did jazz hands for you. I hope you could feel it.
626, my son's name is Ziggy after Ziggy Stardust. Problem that I didn't anticipate is that everyone assumes it's Ziggy Marley.
Oh, interesting.
Or
that's true.
Even later, people will think it's from Ziggy from Big Little Lies.
Oh, I was thinking Ziggy, the comic book character, the little like...
With the little pube on
his head. If your kid has to explain where the name is from, that's not ideal.
No, no, no. Yeah,
Ziggy's
keep that
a
way.
Bad name.
Let's go to Sarah in Simi Valley. Good morning, Sarah.
Hi, good morning.
You have one of these that maybe your kid has to explain where it came from?
Yes, I do. So my daughter's name is Berlin. I named her after the band. But unfortunately, she gets a lot of the city and people nickname her the Wall. So kind of
Sarah.
But,
I didn't see that coming.
But I still love it, and she's a little badass, so it's okay.
It's a nice name.
It is a very pretty name.
I like the name more than I like the band, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I have to say, I love the name, too. It's great, but it is what it is.
It is what it is.
Yeah, say hi to the Wall for us.
All right, thank you for the call. Let's go to JP in Pacific Palisades. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead.
So, yeah, I'm going to name our son. He's coming in May. My middle name is James, so I've always wanted to name my son Jameson. And then my girlfriend came up with the middle name Hendrix. So it'll kind of be like Jimi Hendrix.
Oh. And okay. I thought Jameson was after the alcohol.
So
no?
Did I.
Well, it is my favorite whiskey, but it's kind of.
I thought it was after the porn star.
Middle name.
Jenna Jameson? No?
Well, I mean, Jameson Hendrix is kind of a crazy name.
I dig it. He's destined for greatness.
Yeah, we're pretty thrilled. And we actually had the name before he was even conceived. It was kind of a manifestation kind of thing.
Well, he ain't going to be an accountant with the name Jameson Hendrix, I'll tell you that much.
No,
there's no way.
He's going to be a rock star for sure.
Yeah, he's destined for other things.
If there's one thing naming your kid can give you, it's absolute fact that your kid is going to grow up and be a rock star.
I mean, considering I'm named Thor and now look what I do for a living.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's very true. All right, let's go to Inez in Ontario.
Hi, good morning.
Hi there.
So we have a daughter due in April, and we're going to be naming her Robin Katana. Robin after Robin Williams, and Katana after the Mortal Kombat character.
I love this because she's going to kick ass and be super sensitive and funny at it.
I like this.
I love it. Girl. I love it.
I like this. Katana's
awesome.
So hardcore. Do you ever think about flipping him, Katana Robin?
No, originally Katana was going to be her name, the first name.
Mm-hmm.
But then after I met my husband, he was all like, oh, I don't really like it. He's like, what about Robin, you know, for a girl? Because I love Robin Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, oh, I never thought about that. That actually works for a girl's name. So we did. Originally it was Katana, but now it's Robin
all
Katana.
Right.
Still flip them. I think flip them.
I would also like to suggest Sub-Zero. As another name.
Thank you.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Janice in East LA. Good morning, Janice.
Good morning.
Morning.
How you doing?
Good. Thank you. Your son was named what?
My son was named John Paul after John Lennon and Paul McCartney.
Oh, that's nice.
I'll bet there's a lot of people that are named after band members.
Yeah, especially
band
the Beatles.
Members.
Yeah.
And the Bible.
Yeah, the Beatles. It's my favorite band. My favorite band, the Beatles.
Do people ask if he's named after John Paul Jones? Do people think that?
You know what? Some people do, actually. Some people do. So he's learned about him because of that, through conversation. Most people think he's named after the Pope, though.
Right.
Well,
that makes sense. Yeah.
Right.
That's my favorite.
Plus,
rock star.
He's always going around blessing people.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, there you go. He does.
All right.
And I happen to be named Janice after Janis Joplin.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
So you kept the tradition going.
I love it.
Fantastic. All right. Thank you for the call. We appreciate that very much. Let's go to Lopez in Orange. Good morning, Lopez.
Morning. Morning.
Morning.
Well, I named my boy De Niro Lopez. Actually, my wife did. She has to take credit for that. His name is De Niro Joaquin Lopez. Joaquin for my great uncle, but De Niro for Robert De Niro.
No, oh, so
wow.
you were
that's
a, big,
a strange
big
first
fan.
Name.
Yeah, it's a different first name.
Yeah, but it's unique. I haven't came across anyone who has that name, and he stands out. Everyone knows him on school. Everywhere he goes, they know that name. They remember that name.
So he has to act tough. There's no way he's going to be.
Oh, he's an animal on the field. He's a ball player. So
plus, if you just say the name a little differently, his name's totally money.
Oh,
when he sometimes gets announced on Dash, sometimes they call him De Niro Money Lopez.
Oh, see, look.
See, thank you. You all were groaning at me.
Because it was a terrible joke.
Alex's terrible joke is real.
I hate all of you.
The world it all lives by your terrible jokes. Congratulations.
Thank you.
How about that? All right, let's go to Kristen in Irvine. Good morning, Kristen.
Hey, morning, y'all.
Well, I think we hear your son.
Yes, he is. We listen to K-Rock every morning. So, you hear him in the background as I'm walking him to school right now. Oh. And his name is after my all-time favorite baseball player, Nolan Ryan.
Oh.
Also, my favorite batting cage, the Nolan Ryan Express. Have you ever tried to hit the Nolan Ryan Express? It is not easy, people.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I don't either.
Okay.
I have not, no.
Okay.
Does he know who Nolan Ryan is?
Learning about him. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Hold on. Nolan,
stop it, Nolan.
Yeah, wait, here, I'll put him.
Okay.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Nolan. We like your name, Nolan.
Thank you.
Yeah.
He's certainly learning about him. I've got him in baseball and I talk about Nolan O'Brien all the time. So
okay. Well, if there's a kid on the playground named Robin Ventura, he should beat him up.
Yes, I'll definitely head him in that direction.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you, guys.
Allie's on one.
She really is.
Listen, I didn't sleep much last night, so I tried making up for it this morning with a lot of coffee.
She's bouncing off the walls.
I am insane, out of my mind right now, and I just sent Ruben upstairs to get me a Diet Mountain Dew.
No,
let's keep this party going.
No. Maybe bring a water, Ruben. Maybe bring a water. Or a black coffee, like just something that'll calm her down.
I'm not positive we can handle that.
I don't think a black coffee will
help
either.
You don't want me to have Diet Mountain Dew?
I feel like you're bouncing off the walls enough.
Already? Yeah. You know how sometimes, though, when I get a migraine, if I have a little bit of coffee, it will just alleviate it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Maybe doing
that's
that
caffeine,
with Diet,
right?
Diet Mountain Dew might just go and send me back to normal. Do you think?
No,
it doesn't make sense.
No,
not scientifically,
multiply it.
Right. I'll never forget the day because I'm a big Diet Dr. Pepper drinker.
Same.
It's kind of like my OG thing. And then one day I was drinking a Diet Mountain Dew and the disgust on Jensen Karp's face.
Oh, yeah.
It was palpable.
I was surprised. Yeah. You know what? It's not. I'll explain it.
Because
not,
you said these words
and I
laughed. So hard, and I think about it every time I drink it. What did you say to me, Jensen?
It's not on brand for you.
To which I said, what? I'm going to drink this, and I'll be in the half pipe later. With my skate friends.
It just seemed like you'd be like, I'm going to play Fortnite all night long, do an Unreal tournament. Like, I'm like, calm down, Tony Hawk.
Was she doing that last night? Is that why you're up?
I was up late playing Fortnite with my Fortnite friends.
Okay.
Is that like hood stuff?
I don't know. It's true, though, to watch you drink a diet. Mountain Dew goes against a lot of who you are.
It's jarring. Yeah. Well,
don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
doing it.
Okay. And she's skating to work now.
I am.
It's very weird.
I'm totally skating to work. Everyone's like, why do you have a new backpack every day? I'm like, it's just my thing.
It's like hitting the half pipe.
It's pretty cool. Check out my new fans. Guys, Paley Fest. We love it.
All right.
It's essentially, if you don't know what Paley Fest is, you head on out to the Dolby Theater in Hollywood, and you have the cast and crew, usually the head writer, showrunner, of your favorite shows up on a stage talking about your show, giving a ton of behind-the-scenes stories. You get the opportunity to ask questions.
Yep.
It is a really good time.
It's one of the true rare L.A. experiences. You can't have it in other cities. So.
Absolutely.
I went to the Dexter one.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Fascinating. Just to hear all the stories, how they came up with it, and the audience gets to ask. It's amazing.
Man.
It's really amazing. I love it.
I really need to kill somebody.
He used to live in my neighborhood.
Really?
And
that's
it's terrifying. I would see him a lot, and he ate alone a lot at one of the places that I
that's
frequented.
So funny.
And I would just look over at him, and my beehole would pucker.
He's scary.
You know he's an actor, though, right?
But he's not. He was that good at it
that
I thought, he's definitely murdering in our neighborhood.
It did feel like a doc at times.
Yeah. I mean, all I'm saying is he moved, crime rates dropped.
Well,
okay.
Has to be connected.
None of that is
has
true.
Has to be connected.
None of that is true. But we have the full lineup. Starts off March 13th with Modern Family.
Okay.
Then One Day at a Time, An Evening with Dolly Parton and Dolly Parton's Heartstrings.
Yay!
Are you kidding me? Here's one that I went, I'm sorry, what? NCIS's 400th episode. 400th episode.
Wow.
That's intense, you guys.
That's way too much for one person to make money-wise.
And
also, how many of you watched?
Me?
Yeah.
Not one.
I've watched zero.
I will tell you this, we are in the minority.
Because
that show, gangbuster numbers.
Oh, you don't get 400 episodes because you're doing mediocre.
No. No,
You ever watch one?
Not one.
Destiny?
No.
Even if it was on?
No.
Okay. She'd leave the room. She'd army crawl out. Okay.
That's crazy, though, to have 400 episodes and no one in the room has seen one.
It is. I think Ruben's going to be wanting to go to this one. The Boys.
Okay.
Star Trek Picard.
Ooh, that's kind of like a debut.
Yeah, that would be a good one. Outlander. Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Ooh.
Dead to Me.
Great. Love that show.
Ozark.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Schitt's Creek, which is a bummer because it's the final season of that.
Same with Modern Family.
And Modern Family, yeah. And their big finale, March 22nd. I don't know if you're going to find out all sorts of cool stuff about Baby Yoda, The Mandalorian.
Interesting.
I mean, that is a stacked lineup.
Very good lineup.
Really,
I was hoping for Watchmen.
Yeah.
But I don't think they love talking about it. I think they like
I don't think they can, especially like
everything's a secret or they don't know the answers.
Everything's a secret or they're like, we're going to figure it out episode 4.
Down the road, yeah. If anyone has any suggestions, we're open to them.
Oh man, I cannot wait for season 2 of Watchmen.
Same.
I cannot.
Cuz now they're saying it is happening.
It is happening.
Okay, great.
I will tell you this, I ordered a Watchmen poster.
Wow.
And I'm getting it framed.
Wow.
Because it was my favorite show of the year. Mm-hmm. I loved everything about it. I love Regina King to the point where it's almost not healthy how much I love her. But that poster, and especially after watching the finale, and I won't spoil anything.
Good, because I'm like two behind
but
still.
But I now look at that poster so differently.
Oh, wow. All right.
Just because of the finale. So just saying, Watchmen, if you need me to be like a reporter in it or do a What's Happening segment.
Do they do
What's
Happening segment?
Yeah, you know, all the radio station stuff.
Oh,
they
I
do.
See, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd be like, whoa, squids. What's happening with those? Why am I Seinfeld? Guys, I won't have caffeine.
He's bringing it no matter what. He's in the WhatsApp right now asking what size you want.
But we can shortcut it.
Oh, tell him the largest one possible.
He said there's no more 20-ounce bottles, only cans, still want.
You were asking me a liter.
Hold on. Allie, you were asking for two?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
How did that detail get lost?
Because they're usually small.
Jensen texts back. She doesn't want it anymore.
She only wants water.
Yes, good.
Now.
Good.
Huge one.
Good.
She only wants water.
Diet Mountain Dew.
Come on now.
She's literally.
I spelled Dew with two E's. Dew. This is fun. He's got it. Come on in, Ruben. He's got it.
Yeah, this is all funny because Ruben's in the other room.
He has two.
Thank you so much.
Are you going to double fist?
Yeah.
Are you going to?
And on the top, one of my favorite games, Call of Duty Modern Warfare. Let's game.
She's Stone Cold Steve Austin it right now. She's hitting both cans and then pouring it into her.
This is not going to end well.
Unbelievable. Standing on her chair.
It's a problem. Something really weird is happening with me.
Yes, it is. And at least it's going to get more extreme. So we got that to look forward to.
Two X's. Extreme.
Oh, boy.
Guys, happy birthday to Skrillex, Pitbull, and gosh, we're just talking about her. I mean, Boys in the Hood, Jerry Maguire, Ray, American Crime, Watchmen, the woman, a 2-2 mother freaking seven.
Yeah.
Yep.
She's an American dream. She's like our sweetheart now.
She really is.
Yeah.
Oh, what a talent. I'm talking about Regina King.
Yeah! By the way,
thanks, kids.
Also, expecting great things when she came in, way exceeded my expectations.
100%.
She's great.
She is
way better.
Just a lovely human being and deserves everything wonderful coming her way. I gotta go get a cup to drink my Diet Mountain Dew, and that's what's happening.
I just want to say none of you have to deal with Allie. Except I mean, we're in the room.
It's really the brakes that are the problem. I just watched her scarf. Del Taco was very sweet to drop off things. Mm-hmm. I just saw you eat an actual breakfast toast wrap full. Like you took a
one bite
into your mouth and just stuffed it in.
Oh, are you supposed to actually take like multiple bites?
You're supposed to taste it, yes.
That's crazy. Yeah.
We work with a demon today.
Coming up an hour from now, we have your tickets to see Coldplay at the HT Radio Sound Space. You're going to play a game that's just after 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, it's January.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, what do they call it? Cuffing season, where you get together and then, like, around January, you start breaking off.
You handcuff up to someone.
Yeah. But then January, things are not going great. And then February, you don't want someone for Valentine's Day. The pressure.
The money.
And then you go into summer and you're like, ooh, sundresses. So there's never a good time to be off the market, is what I'm saying. But now, there's a whole new slew of dating lingo that I need to make you aware of.
All right.
We all know about ghosting, right?
Yes, that's very much a slang man term.
Yeah, you're dating someone, poof, they disappear. Not a word, no texts, no calls, anything.
No, we're breaking up. No, I can't take this anymore. No,
no closure for you. They
My friends totally went ghost on me.
They have just ghosted you. You don't hear from them again.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole bunch of sports terms that we know about. Maybe you have a guy or a girl on the bench. So you're dating someone, but you always keep someone there just in case.
In the on-deck circle?
Yeah, well, on-deck circle is another one. Absolutely.
Okay.
That's someone that's made it off the bench, and they are just waiting with bated breath for anything to happen with the one that you are with. You call them up from the minors. Not a pedophile. Right. The minors are just someone that you weren't ready to date that person at the time.
They're not a starter yet.
They had some growing to do. Again, not in a pedophile
way. This party lit.
But now there's even newer lingo, some that is so dumb that it comes back around to being funny to me.
I like that.
But let's start off with a dial toning. Do you know what dial toning is?
No, never heard of it.
You give someone your number, they reach out, you never reply to them. Why did you give them
your
number?
So you give them your real number.
It's technically phone ghosting.
It is, essentially, but dial toning just sounds cooler.
Why don't you, if you're going to give them your number,
respond.
Or just make it one off if you don't want to respond.
Right, a fake number.
Just make up a number that's not.
But they keep getting the real machine, like the real phone.
It's
phone,
your number. They're calling.
Well, you're an idiot for giving them your number.
Yeah, and you're mean. That's just mean. Somebody makes the effort for you.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even reciprocate. Even, what's that word? Reciprocate.
Close enough.
Caffeine queen.
If it's to say, listen, I'm dating someone right now, it's not going to
work
out for something.
You can even just say it's not going to work. You don't even have to give an answer.
We're asking you to lie, and you won't even lie.
You won't even do that. Mm-hmm. Dial toning. Here's another one. Cosplaying. You know what cosplay is.
True.
Where you dress up. Maybe you're Princess Leia, whatever, you're a Comic-Con. This cause, though, is spelled C-A-U-S-E.
Okay.
This is when a former date contacts you well after the fact that you dated. This could be months, years down the road. And then asks you for an unrelated favor. Hey, will you give my new Instagram a follow? Trying to gain followers on that. And you're like, what? So there was a cause for them,
to reach out
to you. Mm. Cosplaying. All right.
Are they trying to work their way back in? Or
no, they just need help from you.
Yeah, I've kind of had that once before. So I had a show at UCB that was sold out, and someone reached out that I'd went on a couple dates with, and they were like, can I get tickets? I hadn't heard from them in like 2 years out of nowhere.
Yeah.
That was Jensen's way of saying, I had a show at UCB that was sold out.
That you've had a date.
Well, I thought you were going to say it was you.
Oh, no. That was Jensen's way of saying, I sold out shows at UCB. It's just what I do.
Yeah, all 83 seats.
I mean, huge. Congrats, dude. Fleabagging. That is consistently dating the wrong type of person for you.
Oh, I thought it was when you're in the middle of a date looking over to the side and talking to someone who's not there.
Or when you're just dating hot priests.
Yeah.
Not sure. This one I laughed so hard at. So, Destiny, you might know about this. We're girls. We get ready for a date. Sometimes we shave our legs if we think something cool might be happening later. We do our makeup. Sometimes we'll put on eyelashes. We do it up. Sometimes takes a long time to get ready. And then guess what? You get a text asking for your date to cancel or reschedule. You know what you've been? You've been glamboozled.
Come on.
I'm going to put on my jams.
It comes back around.
Glamboozled.
It's so bad. I respect you did, it. You did all the glamming up, but then you were bamboozled, so you were glamboozled.
I love that.
I support it.
That's awesome.
That's my favorite one so far.
I support
then
it.
Then you've got white clawing. White clawing. Staying with someone who you find very attractive, but otherwise is simple or boring.
Okay.
So
I wonder why white clawing? Like the alcohol?
That's what I thought. Then I thought white, like when you white claw, like are you white knuckle? None of that made sense. I was hoping you guys could tell me.
Oh, no.
I was thinking what Jensen was. White claw the drink. I was just thinking that's sort of lame.
Okay.
No. Don't find it interesting at all, but you're still there.
Glamboozled, though.
A lot of teens are dropping their verbs.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sir.
Okay.
This one, yellow carding. What do you think yellow carding is?
The only thing I know is soccer. And there's a yellow card in soccer, which is a warning. And then the next time you get a red card, you're kicked out.
Okay. So this is basically...
I haven't seen it anywhere.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jensen.
When you're on a date with someone...
I thought you were at the UCB because you sold it
sold
out.
Sold out a show, yeah. No, yellow card is when you just play their songs on a date over and over again. Just
that
on repeat.
Quite the date.
Okay.
No, it's when you call out a date for bad behavior, like a questionable view, general rudeness, maybe the server, like they just treated the server like crap. You're like, ooh.
So it is a warning.
Card. It's a warning.
Okay.
Absolutely. Let me just say that all of this came from Daily Blast Live on Twitter. People were not feeling it. People were like, this is the dumbest stuff ever. I hate it so much.
Except for glamboozled.
Yeah, people
Except
have
for
to
glamboozled.
Support that.
There was one tweet, though, that I wanted to read that is apparently deleted, but I kind of remember it. But he said, why didn't you include this one? It's called hot dogging, where I'm just laying inside of a contraption, and it's like really warm air, and I'm just turning around in a circle.
What?
Who is this person?
It's like at 7-Eleven, those hot dogs that are just...
This guy sounds like a real catch.
I'm sure we need a name for hot dogging.
I just thought that was so funny, because he made it up, and then apparently he deleted it. But I found it
funny,
sir.
That is
funny. If you are listening, it's great. And I, for one, I know what it's like to be glamboozled. I don't want it to happen again. But now that I have a name for it.
Yeah. And as someone who sold out numerous shows at UCB, I think hot dogging is super funny.
Thank you.
Kevin in the Morning with Ali and Jensen. Carol QFM.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is Kevin in the Morning with Ali and Jensen at 8:51. Coming up just after the top of the hour, Coldplay. HD Radio Sound Space.
Yeah.
We had an update earlier, if you're just tuning in, that Allie said she walked by the Sound Space and...
I drove by when I was driving in, looked wide open. Usually there were like things covering the window, and then one window you would see all the furniture stacked up that I'm sure had to be placed once it was time for it to be placed. Furniture... gone, obviously, because it's time for it to be placed. No ladders hanging around, no nothing.
Wow.
It looks like we're on track, baby.
Progress.
We're back.
Me like it.
Progress.
We're clearly going to have a run-through, right? I mean, there's a run-through? I mean...
Well, no, it would just be Coldplay on Friday.
Okay.
I mean, there was a run-through scheduled yesterday, but we weren't able to do it.
Right.
So...
Wow.
Just nerves, that's all. I'm just trying. Listen, I'm trying to. I'm in risk management, really.
Sure.
A lot of people don't know it. A lot of people don't know it. I was hired as a host for this show, but also I'm in the risk management department.
Uh-huh. I did not know that.
I run it, and I'm just trying to make sure we.
How many employees do you have in the risk management?
It's just me.
Just you.
Wow.
That's
just me.
Wow. I'd fire you.
And Yessie. You know Yessie?
Can you fire yourself from
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, just me and Yessie.
Okay.
Yeah, from
AMP.
From AMP, yeah. Mm-hmm. She's program director there, but also me and her risk management.
Honestly, don't bring her into this.
Okay, you're right. Yeah, it's just me.
Don't bring her.
And I'm hoping for the best. Chris Martin, bring some buttons.
You can call that 1-800-520.
No, there's no need to call. Yes, there is.
1067. We're going to do the contest. You're going to have to wait a minute because it'll be just after 9 o'clock. But if you'd like to call, you can call now.
Please.
1-800-520-1067.
Guys, we have this year's inductees to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They were revealed. And I'm going to tell you, there are some great people going in, starting with one of my favorite bands of all time, and I'm thrilled for them.
John Bon Jovi.
Depeche Mode.
Oh, Depeche Mode. Got it. Okay.
Also heading in, Nine Inch Nails.
That's great. Yeah, it's great.
Deserved. Loved it.
The Doobie Brothers. Whitney Houston.
I love it!
The Notorious B.I.G. And T-Rex.
Now... When you first said this earlier this morning, we hit utter confusion.
Yeah.
We did not know who T-Rex was.
Yeah.
And we were okay saying that. We admitted it.
Yeah, I knew Bang a Gong.
But it was also odd that they were getting into the Hall of Fame, and we work in an industry where we're around bands all the time, and we didn't recognize the name.
The immediate reaction I had is I thought it was T-Bone Burnett. I didn't even think it was, I didn't know T-Rex.
You just thought T? And
T, I just was like, T, obviously.
So it's
iced
tea.
Yeah, it could have been iced tea. Yeah. But
Mr. T, also.
Big Rock and Roll Hall of Fame guy.
Loved his albums.
I've done a little bit of research and realized they're very influential. Uh-huh. They kind of brought the glam movement
rock.
Over in the 70s.
Sure.
But still.
Yeah.
Unknown.
Not really well known with us. But four of the inductees this year were on the ballot for the first time. The Doobie Brothers, Whitney Houston, Biggie, and T-Rex. So that's huge that they got in for their first time.
Yeah.
To be clear, to be eligible for the Hall of Fame, an individual artist or band has to have released their first commercial recording at least 25 years prior to the year of nominations. So.
25 years.
Yeah. 25 years.
Wow.
So if you're wondering, well, those are great bands. Who missed out? This is the list of also nominated but didn't get in this year. We'll see about next year.
Okay.
Pat Benatar, Dave Matthews Band, Kraftwerk, which
I'm
going to say right now, Kraftwerk, the fact that least the last 2 years has not made it in is mind-boggling.
If we talk about influential.
Kraftwerk probably more so than any band that's in there.
Yes.
Todd Rundgren, Motorhead, Rufus featuring Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan? Chaka Khan.
Mm-hmm.
Soundgarden.
You've done that twice and both times excellent delivery.
Thank you. Uh-huh. Soundgarden, MC5, Judas Priest, and Thin Lizzy. So again, this year's inductees to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Depeche Mode, The Doobie Brothers, Whitney Houston, Nine Inch Nails, The Notorious B.I.G., and T-Rex. We are going to see that live on HBO on May 2nd.
Can I tell you, I think Motorhead and Kraftwerk deserve next year at least to get a good look.
Yes.
From the list. Like,
easily.
Yes.
People who.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Another look next year, please.
Speaking of another look, we did a segment on movies we love that Rotten Tomatoes and critics seem to have panned. Kevin, you said Step Brothers and Armageddon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Step Brothers got 55%.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
That's
and Armageddon
crazy.
Got 38%.
Yeah.
You were White Hot American Summer.
White Hot American Summer and Speed Racer.
Speed Racer. Mine was P.S. I Love You, which got a whopping 25%.
Allie came in with the lowest.
Thank you.
Nice.
Thank you. But we put it up on Instagram and said, what movie did you love that critics hated? You can check it out at Kevin Mornings on both Instagram and that's our Twitter handle as well. Some listener responses. Night at the Roxbury. 11%.
I mean, very low.
That's really low. Yeah.
Did I see it? Yeah, I did.
Yes.
Okay.
Would I admit it? No.
Right.
I would not.
It wasn't that great to me.
No.
Eurotrip. I love that movie. Mm-hmm. That was a great movie. Billy Madison.
Love.
40%.
No.
Yeah. Love that.
Day After Tomorrow, 44%.
Okay, that's fine.
Daredevil, 44%. Hmm. Shocked. Jaws 3.
Yeah.
10%.
Yeah, that's the Jaws 3D, I think. That's not a good one.
Well,
10%.
And I'm going to say right now, another one of my all-time favorite movies that I watch multiple times a year came in at 21%.
Oh,
that movie, Practical Magic. That movie rules. They are witches, you guys. Sandra Bullock and Nicole Kidman.
Sure.
You guys. It's so good. Magic.
Oh, good?
Anyone?
Good.
No, I mean, no, I'm not with you.
And they sing and they drink the margaritas and they go around the table and you put the lime in the coconut. It's so, God.
That's only worth 8%. So then
here's the thing.
Adds up.
Finger on the button girl, Casey, who thinks of herself as a movie person.
Yeah, she goes to like film festivals.
She works them because that's how much she loves movies because she knows if she works at them, she also can see these movies too.
Yeah.
That's how much she loves movies. So when I say she thinks of herself as a movie person, she literally is.
Jade the King of Mexico just came in. We're going to do a game where he plays the kazoo, and he actually said these words, and I quote, I had to practice for about 20 minutes to remember how to play a kazoo.
But was he like saying 20 minutes was a lot? It's not.
Play a kazoo?
To play a kazoo? Maybe 20 seconds,
Let's see what the results
you
are
hum
like
into
first.
It. That's it.
That's it.
Before you defend how long you went, let's see what this practice got
Granted, this is a dude that also, when he first tried this, was trying to blow into the kazoo from the wrong end.
Yeah, right. That's true. That's true.
And you don't even blow into a kazoo. You basically make a noise.
But don't worry, guys. I went downstairs to the sound space, tested it out, and I sound great, so I'm ready to hop in. I'm ready to hop in with Coldplay.
Awesome. All right.
It's Kazoo and You.
It's Kazoo and You. Just guessed the tune we played for you. It's Kazoo and You, because we love kazoos and you do too. It's Kazoo and You, and you win some ticks, not one but two. It's Kazoo and You, come on, let's play Kazoo and You.
Kazoo! All right, so the King of Mexico will play a song, you just have to name it. It will be a Coldplay song. I think that's pretty much the whole game.
Pretty easy.
Start with Yvonne in Riverside. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the game. Dave, now the King of Mexico is going to play a Coldplay song on a kazoo.
Ruin your day.
It's not going to be good, but can you identify the song title?
Turn up the radios because it's going to be awesome. All right, here we go, Yvonne.
Okay.
No.
Sorry, that's Viva La Vida.
Oh.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Look, I'm not saying Dave did bad. Did okay.
No, it's good.
It's okay.
However, The Scientist is my favorite.
A lot of people would pick the hook or the lyric part,
not
the musical part necessarily.
Yeah. Right. He picked the intro of the song.
It's only the most recognizable part, but yeah.
Okay. Let's go to Gretchen in West Covina. Good morning, Gretchen.
Good morning.
Welcome to Kazoo and You.
Thank you. I'm so excited.
Mm-hmm. All right, Dave, you ready?
I guess, yeah. All right, here we go, Gretchen.
Pretty good.
All right.
Good. Yeah.
Not terrible. Gretchen.
Yeah, it's Paradise.
It is Paradise.
Would you guys say Gretchen's a wiener?
Huh? Mm. Come on. Let's go to Candace. Candace in Monrovia. Good morning, Candace.
Come on.
No one's giving you that credit, no.
Are you ready for your Coldplay song done on a kazoo by the King of Mexico?
I am ready. Let's do this.
Let's go, Candace. All right.
And it was all yellow.
Yes, nicely done.
Good job.
Dave actually almost sounded like the song.
That 20 minutes really paid off.
That was as close as any song you've ever done. Nigel in Westwood, good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
We are good.
How's it going?
All right, Nigel.
All right, let's do it.
You got a good one. Not for me, but all right. Here we go.
Oh man, is it something just like this?
No. Honestly, that one not quite as good as...
Okay, that was a little tougher.
The last one.
That was a little tougher.
That did sound like notes. Here Comes the Bride all dressed in white at certain points.
All right, let's go to Gil in Los Angeles. Good morning, Gil.
Good morning.
Morning.
Welcome to Kazoo and You. Here's the King of Mexico with your song.
All right, Gil, let's go.
All right.
All right, here we go.
Very bad.
Are we looking at the same song?
I don't think he is.
This is not good.
Wait, are you doing number five?
Yes.
No, you're not.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Gil, if you get this, it's a miracle. What do you got?
Is he really playing the kazoo or is he making noises with his mouth?
I mean, it's a very good question.
It's close enough.
Not sure.
Blurred line.
Oh, my God.
Pick a song by Coldplay.
I'm lost, man.
So are we.
Trucks.
But again, like you're playing the instrument. Okay.
Yeah.
Saliva just came out of the front
of
that.
That's not good.
That's a byproduct.
Let's go to Vanessa in La Puente. Good morning.
A lot of tongue.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning. Wow. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, the King God. Of Mexico just made us all puke in our mouths. Oh. All right.
All right.
Name this Coldplay song.
All right.
Ready.
Downhill quick.
Wow.
Wait, are you doing number seven?
No, six.
Are you on number six?
He's doing six.
Okay, Vanessa?
Yes.
You're going to
I would say Fix You.
Wow.
You know what?
Wow. No.
Wow.
I'm going to say that was a wild stab in the dark.
No.
Right?
Wow.
Vanessa, that was right on, right?
That
you
was
got
just an wow. absolute.
Was that an absolute Thank guess, Vanessa?
You. Did you know that, Vanessa, or was that a guess?
I knew that. I was singing it in my head, but then I would, like, lose it. But, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're a miracle.
That's incredible.
All right. Thank you. Let's go to Shirley in El Monte. Good morning, Shirley.
Yeah.
Good morning.
You're our last contestant for Kazoo and You. Here's the King of Mexico. Good luck.
All right, here we go.
I mean,
not
I had
bad.
A head bobbing too. So.
Not bad.
I also like
not bad
it,
compared heard, to the previous.
Yeah.
I heard his breath.
he's actually tired, out of breath.
He's horrible at this.
All right, hey, Shirley.
Him for the weekend.
That's a horrible guess.
I'm sorry, that's.
Boo!
Not too bad.
That one wasn't awful.
Mm-mm.
Thank you.
That's every teardrop is a waterfall.
I'll take five out of seven. So
fine, we have three.
Three.
What are you
no,
talking
I'm
about?
Saying like that we're awesome. You know, good.
By
you
judging his own,
yeah, I don't
his own
care
work.
About them.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. Who's our winner, Allie?
Do we have a? There it is. Candace, congratulations! And we understand today is even her birthday.
Thank you so much,
Candace. Happy birthday!
Yes, thank you so
You're
much.
Welcome.
Oh my God!
Congratulations! We will see you on Friday, and thanks for playing the game.
Kazoo and You.
Kazoo. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin in the Morning with Allie and Jensen. It is 9:39. Time for one last look at what's happening. Here's Allie.
Guys, the show Power on Stars. People dig this show? I think Dave likes it a lot.
I think so.
I do believe he watches it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have Stars because I'm not rich and can afford all those extra add-ons. But they have a new Power spinoff called Power Book 2, Ghost. And they've added someone pretty cool to the cast. You might know him as Grammy-winning rap star and member of Wu-Tang Clan, M-E-T-H-O-D, man.
Yeah!
Method Man is going to play lawyer David McClane, described by Stars as brilliant, ethically challenged, and with a few secrets of his own, Davis is drawn into our world on multiple axes. A world riddled with murder and drugs where the only thing he's really addicted to is winning.
All right.
So
yeah, no, I'm fine with it.
Is going to be on the show joining Mary J. Blige in
Which
the spinoff.
Which is quite a combo.
Yeah.
They're Grammy winning together.
I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in. They are expected to premiere in the summer, Power Book 2.
Are you going to get Stars then?
I might have to get Stars just for Mary J. Blige and Method Man.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Don't make me do it.
They're all I need to get by.
Oh.
Thank you.
I know,
Shorty, I'm there for you anytime you need me. For real, girl, it's me in the world. Believe me, nothing makes a man feel better
Wouldn't
than
have made
a
the
woman.
Joke if I knew it was
Queen with
to
the
this.
Crown, I'd be down for whatever. There are two things that's forever. My lady, we can make war, make babies. Back when I was nothing, you made a brother feel like he was something.
That's why I'm with you to this day, boo. No frontin'. Even when the skies were gray, you would rub me on my back and say, baby, it'll be okay. And that's real for a brother like me, baby. Never, ever give my booty away and keep it tight, aight?
Yay!
I mean, come on.
Thank you.
We'll be pulling that Thank forever.
That's where the hyperness actually paid off, right there. She's been driving us crazy all day.
Guys, like I have to listen to that song forever.
I'd like to thank Diet Mountain Dew Woo! For that.
That felt good. That felt real good.
Real good.
I mean, not as good as when I wrapped It's Tricky with Rev Run.
And then fell
asleep. That was something.
And then I fell asleep.
Yeah, that was a pretty good finale. Yeah.
I think the best part of falling off the stage at Comic-Con, mm-hmm. because I thought I was wearing shoes that were super cute and I could walk in, turns out I couldn't. But I fell off the stage, and he told me that it was like a Matrix move. Like, I did it in slow motion.
It was a positive
almost.
Thing from him.
It right. was positive like, from him. But
like, you're
also,
a superhero, I think he said.
Yeah.
To you.
It felt good. It felt good. But also, the memes I got, which was Michael Jackson, but instead it said, Allie, are you okay? Are you okay, Allie? And it was delightful and funny. So there you go. Fall off more stages in 2020 is my motto.
Let's hope for it.
I like it.
Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker, set to cross the $1 billion mark at the global box office, they think, this week, you guys. That would become the seventh 2019 release from Disney.
That's insanity.
That is way too much.
Crossover this year, you guys. That's insane to me.
Especially for a movie you didn't like.
I didn't not like it. I just didn't love it. Okay. It was fine. Which, from me, in the Star Wars universe, that's essentially I hated it.
Because fine is as bad as it gets?
For me,
well, she should be
universe.
Loving it. She should be loving it.
I should be loving it. I didn't. I appreciate it if you loved it.
I'd give it between 7 and 8. 7?
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
7 and a half, maybe?
I'd give it a 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not good.
That's not even fine.
I mean, but I love that it moved other people. I think that's wonderful.
Okay.
Love what you love. See, Star Wars fans, you're able to do that. You're able to not like one of the movies and still not be an asshole. It's amazing how that happens.
Let's move on.
Yeah. By the way, Rise of Skywalker currently stands ninth among 2019 releases ahead of the $760 million Hobbs and Shaw. What about the $1.5 billion total of the remake of Aladdin?
That's how much it made? 1.5 billion?
Yes. Oh, 1.05.
Oh, okay.
So that's different.
Still.
I mean, loser.
Oh, never mind. That sounds
yeah,
like
sorry,
sucks.
Yeah, whatever.
It's ridiculous.
I thought I was
supposed to be
impressed.
Seven of the top films of 2019 released by Disney's, you got Avengers Endgame, mm-hmm. The Lion King, Frozen 2, Toy Story 4, Captain Marvel. What I'm saying is Disney has had an okay year this past year. I think they're going to be okay, guys.
It used to be a miracle when a movie crossed $1 billion.
Oh my
gosh. Impossible.
Or impossible, right.
And I love that this, like, people are like, oh, look how long it took Rise of Skywalker to cross that $1 billion mark. I mean, didn't do well at all.
I can't believe Aladdin is over $1 billion.
Aladdin, yeah. Hobbs and Shaw, $760 million, you guys.
Yeah.
$760 million.
That's my
I mean, did you guys think Aladdin even really, like, broke the surface to anyone?
No.
Listen, source me on this article.
Okay.
I just sourced you on Aladdin. It's
okay,
over
cool.
a billion, yeah.
Yeah, I know. That's what I said.
Yeah, I was nervous.
I was you like, wanted somebody to source you so you could just be proven right?
Yeah, it feels
okay.
good.
All right.
Every now and then.
I like it.
Jensen, mm-hmm. I remember when your wife was pregnant, and even before she was pregnant, she basically was always on the hunt for Oreos.
Yes, we...
Like, it became concerning a little bit.
Yeah, she had purchased, I would guess... 30 fudge-covered Oreo boxes while pregnant because she said they were limited edition and she didn't want to be stuck if they leave.
No, what if they were discontinued and then guess what? She's pregnant.
But
she craves those.
She doesn't have any of them. Right.
Okay.
Well, I love them too and I'm not pregnant.
Right.
Okay.
We
had
amazing.
That is good to know.
We had a nanny recently who opened one of the closet doors and saw them all and she looked at him and she's like, the cookies are here. Like, it was like we forgot them.
Right.
That's
she's
why,
like,
yeah.
you guys have 70 yeah. cases of them.
Are you doomsday preppers?
Here's my question for you. What's her thought on most stuff Oreos?
She likes a lot of them. We recently were super into the mystery stuff, which ended up being a churro, which was a very good flavor.
Okay.
And then we'll get the peppermint bark. We'll do peanut butter. These are all ones we have tried and like.
Well, this is the OG.
Okay.
With the most creme, is what they say, of any variety. It's coming back. Limited time. until January 20th. I don't know if you want to call Danielle, say you'll pick some up on the way home, but she's got to know. I'm sure she has a Google
alert. I'm sure she already knows. Yeah,
she knows.
She's a stockholder.
She's like, Allie, they're already in another cabinet that we had to buy because the other cabinets were already filled with Oreos. How is she not Oreo's spokesperson?
It is something we've hoped for and prayed for, but it has not shown up yet.
Come on, Oreo.
I mean, she takes pictures of herself getting all the boxes at Target. Yeah.
Again, Target, she could probably be the face of.
We could just just send us money.
A lot of money.
Also CPK.
CPK. Just send us money, guys.
Totally. I feel like we need to talk about this tomorrow, so I'm not going to do a story on it. But let me just say, there was an absolute abomination of pizza that made its way onto the internet
yesterday. Worse than pineapple.
Worse than pineapple.
That seems to be the sticking point for most people.
I've had over 40 pizzas in the last 30 days.
All right.
No. Honestly, worse than that.
Oh, really?
You guys, worse than that. We're going to talk about it tomorrow, but I'm going to tell you, it's disgusting. And I welcome our alien overlords. If this is what we're up against.
Of this pizza?
Because of this pizza.
I saw a picture of it. And I gagged.
Yeah. Guys, I've been trying to work through the pain today of knowing that Jeopardy! Greatest of All Time Championship is over. It ended last night. It was the first to three wins, and Ken Jennings won. Rightfully so. The man dominated. Mm-hmm. He was wonderful. James Holzhauer, incredible. Brad Rutter.
Bernie, the third
his
guy.
His name's Brad. Didn't do as great as I thought he would.
Yeah.
I'd still let him hit it. But I'm sad it's over, you guys. I really thought we would get one, maybe two more games out of it.
But you knew it was going to end.
It would end
eventually.
Soon, yeah. But you don't want, like, the greatest thing in your life to end at the earliest point. Kevin, go ahead with your question.
That's the greatest thing in your life?
I mean, yeah, right now it is.
Okay.
Yeah, Hallmark movies are over.
Clarifying.
So, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I have no more Christmas joy. Christmas has been taken down. I mean, now I'm moving to Valentine's Day, and my God, I'm barren. No one wants this. So it's upsetting.
I think you're going to find something new. You're going to watch the Aaron Hernandez doc today.
Really? And then I'll just be like, that has inspired me to murder. What is happening?
I'm going to take steroids and murder.
Oh, gosh. I mean, fingers crossed. Just saying. It's been a rough day.
What do
day.
They do now? When you get those kind of ratings, what do you do?
Oh.
Like, you got to try to figure out what the next one is.
You have to. And I'm sure they're looking at these ratings and going, why did we do it during sweeps?
And why wasn't it best of five? First to five.
Yeah.
Hey, can any of them battle the computer? I know you're a big fan of the computer.
Oh, no. Watson's done.
Really?
That's what Benny did. Benny was the guy
played
the computer.
Yeah. No, he got thrown off the roof by on a Conan episode.
The actual one?
By Andy. Yeah. Andy threw him off the roof.
It's disgusting.
Yeah. No, it had to be done.
So you just confessed
to
a murder.
It had to be stopped?
It's a computer.
Uh-huh.
And he was a dick.
Well, if I think that the way you try to get these ratings is obviously you got to bring back Ken, you got to bring back Jeopardy James, figure out some
or
kind of gimmick.
Siri or someone.
Right, Siri.
Yeah. Alexa, play Lemon Party.
Now everyone's Alexa's
doing
that.
No, don't say that.
Don't do that.
Do not. All right, don't. And you know how sometimes we say don't, but we mean
but
do?
But we mean do?
We
that
mean
was
don't.
Not, that was not what we meant here.
Right. It's the opposite of that. It's really, really don't.
I swear, where?
It's much better than what she mentioned.
Guys, I'm going to nap today.
Yeah. You,
and not in my parent way.
How long does meth last?
It's not meth.
But
it
do
is
you promise?
Very little sleep. Uh-huh. It is a ton of coffee before I even left the house. And then two Diet Mountain Dews.
Look, you got to get through however you can.
I mean,
Thank you.
We're just...
But so do we.
Trying to get through the workday.
Good point. All right, guys. Some birthdays for you. Skrillex, Pitbull, and the Queen, Miss Regina King. Which, by the way, doesn't Regina mean queen? So she's like queen and king. She's basically royalty of the highest order.
This
right?
is what we're talking about
I
with
mean,
Allie.
Sometimes I think she's just on her own plane.
She
and
is.
It's, we're just here watching.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. That's what's happening.
A 5 p.m. commercial-free hour. Tomorrow morning, an all-new show. We have What's Up with Florida. It's very close. We're going to go to R.J. Bell to get his picks for the NFL, and we will talk to Dr. Drew as well tomorrow morning.